Thoroughly enjoyed the meeting. Appreciate it so much. The presence of the Lord. And, well, the Lord's just been with here, ain't he? And I do appreciate the Lord being with us. I do want to say, before I endeavor to preach this afternoon, that I really appreciate Brother and Sister Gabbert and the church here, the meeting. I tell you, it's just been great. And I also want to say I appreciate the effect that Brother Gabbert has had upon our lives and as a family and also as a movement. Don't you appreciate Brother and Sister Gabbert? Amen. Hallelujah. And then Brother Benny Sutherland, I tell you, I've known him for a number of years, and I just appreciated his preaching not only in this meeting but through the years. Me and my wife was talking recently good things about the church and the work of God. And Brother Sutherland's name came up, and I said, you know, Brother Sutherland is not only a powerful preacher and pastoring one of our bigger churches, I dare say that he's put out as many ministers in the work of God than any of our churches, and probably would only be compared to Brother Ben Shaw when he was at Falk. But I appreciate Brother Sutherland, and then I appreciate Brother Height, don't you? I tell you, that's great preaching. I had the privilege to call him and Sister Height pastors for about a year and a half when I was in a transition. And we appreciate and love them so very much. And he has preached more camp meetings and youth camps than any preacher we have in our movement, I feel sure. And I appreciate it so much. Revelation chapter 14. Stand, if you will. I think that's your custom. And Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 11. Revelation 14 and 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I want to preach, and you can be seated if you'd like, but I'd like to preach this afternoon on where are the dead that die in the Lord. Where are the dead that die in the Lord? You know, that's a question, and even in our holiness movement, that we have been asked more than once. All of us realize that there is a appointed time of death. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I really feel like that death is inevitable for every one of us. Sooner or later, we will each breathe our last breath of life. And we're going to depart from this life to a world that's unknown. We believe as Christians without a doubt that as Christians that we, when we pass from this life, we go to a place called heaven. That's been said often in our preaching and testimonies and in our songs. Many of the songs they sang this afternoon, even as the Spirit of God was moving so great and glorious among us, was a song that that would resound the hope of eternity and living forever in the presence of God. I was reminded as the Spirit of God was moving this afternoon about how good heaven's going to be. You know, eye has not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of a man what good things the Lord has for us. But through the Spirit, we understand those things that He has for us. And surely when we get in a camp meeting like we've been in this week and up to this time, and the Spirit of God moving as it has, we have to be reminded of the fact that this is just a taste and a sample of what heaven's really going to be like. Sooner or later, we're all going to die and we'll depart from this world into a world that's unknown, that many of, that we have never been to. And yet we read from the Word of God and hear from the testimonies of the saints of how glorious, and from a few that have said they've gone and came back. Uncle Bud Robinson was one of those, that old Nazarene preacher. He felt like he died and went to, and then came back and then lived to tell the story of it. And somebody come up to Uncle Bud one day and said, "Uncle Bud, I don't believe you died and went to heaven." He said, "That's all right. I'm the one that done it, not you." And he said, "If you don't get right with God, you'll never make it." Well, I believe it's important for us not only to be right, but to stay right, don't you? When you think about death and eternity and that final destiny of the soul, there's been a lot of thought about that. Earlier in our nation, when the Indians roamed this land, they felt like they was going to a happy hunting ground. Well, we know that that was filled with darkness, or their teaching and idolatry, and certainly the way they presented a thought of heaven wasn't right. There's others believe in a reincarnation. They feel like when they die, they come back. I don't know, we had a dog that wandered through here a little bit ago. I don't think that was one of the old saints. Maybe a dog that come out from either the net or the leash somewhere and made his way through the church. But we don't believe in reincarnation. Others just talk about soul sleep. And neither do we believe in soul sleep. But the Bible said here in Revelation 14 and 13, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, which saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now, I feel quite sure this morning that according to the Word of God, when death comes to grip the life, heart of every individual, that they'll depart from this life to another life. We are eternal bound creatures. From the time of our existence and our birth of life, we will never cease to be, but we will continue on, not only in the this life, the 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that we're permitted to live, but we will live beyond this life. I really feel like that there is an intermediate place for the righteous to dwell as well as the sinner. Before I talk to you about heaven, I want to talk to you about that dreadful place called hell. You know, there really is a hell. There really is a place that sinners and backsliders and wayward Christians and those who do not answer the call of Christ are doomed and damned to go to. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 16 that there was a certain man, beggar named Lazarus, that died and was carried by the angels in the Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And so the Jesus taught to us that hell was a place of torment, a place of suffering. According to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20, the Bible said not only is there a place called hell, I believe that place of hell is an intermediate place in which people die from this life and go to, but it is not their final moment or hour of destruction. But in Revelation chapter 20, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no more sea. And the Bible said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there certainly is an intermediate place in which one would go to after this life. Just like that rich man that died and was buried in hell, lifted up his eyes in torments. But in a later time, there'd be a giving up of the dead from the sea and the grave and all that's in them are to go to a great white throne judgment. And that judgment will be judged first of all by our faith, because whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. We'll be judged by our works, and our works will be judged according to the word of God. But after this great white throne judgment, where death and hell's delivered up the dead that's in it, and the sea gave up the dead that's in it, and all sinners stand before God, if their faith is void and not right before God, and their works are contrary to the word of God, and they will be, because the only people that can live for God are those who live by faith in the finished work of Calvary's cross. Then the Bible said and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And all of hell would be emptied for a great white throne judgment. All of death would be emptied for a great white throne judgment. And whosoever's name's not found written in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. What a tragic moment that's going to be for the sinner and the backslider, the wayward and away from God, when they're doomed for all of eternity, lost without God. But just as sure as there is not a eternal destruction for the soul of man that knows not Christ, the Bible teaches us that the Christians have a place as well. And there really is a heaven in which we can go to. There really is a blessed place where we're going to enjoy the splendors of God throughout the endless ages of eternity. There is that intermediate place for the soul of man that we'll go to when we die in a step into eternity. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13 tells us, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, for they henceforth cease from their labor, and their works do follow them. And the Bible tells us that concerning heaven, for the child of God, that it is a place of rest. There'll be no more laboring. There'll be no more toiling. There'll be no more devils to fight. There'll be no more trouble to overcome. There'll be no more problems to struggle through and trust the Lord for real victory. But the Bible says it's a place of rest. And in Revelation chapter 6 and in verse number 10, concerning those martyred souls that was underneath the altar, the Bible said in Revelation 6 and 10, and they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes was given unto every one of them, and it was said of them that they should rest, and yet for a little season, while their fellow servants also and their brethren, with their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Heaven's not only going to be a place of rest, but it's a place of waiting. All those that go to that celestial place when they breathe their last breath from this life and go yonder to that place called heaven,
They go there waiting. Some's waiting for vengeance of God to take place on the earth. I believe there's others that's up in heaven that's waiting for others to come. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11 that God, having provided some better things for us, that they, that's those in heaven, that they without us should not be made perfect. I don't think heaven's going to be a place of completion until all the saints of God are gathered on the other side to that celestial place, that place of the home of the soul for the child of God. It's not only a place of rest. It's not only a place of waiting. But according to Revelation chapter 7 and in verse number 15, the Bible said concerning the white robed saints that make it to heaven, these are they which came out of great tribulation, which have their robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them, and they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. For the Lamb of God, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Heaven's not just a place of rest. Heaven's not just a place of waiting. But in 15 of and 7 of Revelation, the Bible said it was also a place where saints will serve him and worship the Lord and magnify the Lord with all that's within us. I do believe, saints of God, that there's a place called heaven that God has prepared for us. Some may ask the question, Brother Mark, why is it that you take the time at the close of a service, a morning service at camp meeting, to talk about heaven and hell and the eternal destiny of the soul and where the soul of the child of God goes to? Because I really feel like if we would never lose sight of eternity, if we would look through this world with eternity in view, it'd make us better Christians. It'd make us better servants of God. It'd be easier to say no to the temptation of the present hour, and greater victory would rule and reign on the inside of our hearts. And I say with all assurance and with full confidence that I want to make heaven my home. And by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, heaven's more than just a dream. It will one day become a reality for the saint of God. Hallelujah. A place of resting, a place of waiting, a place of activity. Examples given in the Word of God concerning this, us going to heaven. When that rich man died and was buried, he lifted up his eyes in hell. But a beggar died and was carried in the Abraham's bosom. I believe was the welcoming committee of heaven. And when he got there, he was in a place of safety. Somebody said, how can you be sure that when we die, we'll go to heaven? Well, Jesus was hanging on a cross, and a dying thief looked up to him and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus turned and looked at him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And with a surety, Christ spoke to a dying thief and said there was a place for him to go to. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse number 17. Therefore, If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things has passed away. And behold, all things has become new. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse number 6, Paul declares unto the Corinthian church, therefore we are all always confident, knowing whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent of the body and to be present with the Lord. I tell you, Paul recognized that when he departed from this life, it's not a nowhere's land. It's not a place somewhere that is where man ceases to exist. But he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when he wrote to the Philippian church, he said, I'm a strait between two. It'd be better for you that I'd stay and abide with you. But there's something in my heart that yearns to go to that place. And Paul realized that in heaven, it's a place that awaits the child of God. Hallelujah. When Christmas Evans preached in the great Welch revival, and they had revival sweeping across that country, Christmas Evans woke up one night in his bedroom and felt a scary and a leery a presence inside of his room. He sat up in his bed and looked over in the corner, and he said, there stood the devil. And the devil threatened Christmas Evans and said, unless you quit your preaching and stop this revival, I will destroy your life and take your very life away from you. Christmas Evans looked back at the devil and said, how dare you threaten me with heaven? He said, I'll tell you, I'll preach in the morning. And he rolled over and went to sleep and got up the next morning, and revival continued on. I tell you, death for the child of God is a means to step from time into eternity. Under that place, Paul said, I have a desire to go to. It ought to be the hope of everyone that's saved. Don't drive your stakes too deep in this world, but look for a better world than this to go to. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. In chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and it is void and without form. Then he went on, and for the first 6 days, he called the light day and the darkness night. He called the sun, the moon, and a lesser light to rule, or the sun, the rain, and a lesser light, the moon, to rule the night, and stars also. When God got ready to cause the planets, or the all of the living creatures on earth into existence, the Bible said, and God said, and he spoke the trees into existence, and he spoke the flowers into existence. And when he got ready to make the animal kingdom, he spoke the animals into existence. They wasn't there, he spoke it, and they were there. When he got ready to fill the sea, he spoke it into existence. But when he got ready to take care of man and make a man to tend the garden, he reached down from the dust of the earth. And the Bible said that he formed a man. And in Genesis, the Bible said God breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. You know what that breath of God was? It was the inflating of man's lungs. And when God breathed in the man's nostrils and man became a living soul, God breathed the spirit and the soul called Adam. God placed the spirit and soul inside of him. That very word breath means to inflate. And when God's breath breathed in a man's nostrils, his lungs have inflated and filled with air. His body was filled with the spirit and soul. The blood started flowing and the heart started pumping. And what makes man different and then all the rest of creation is the breath of God that put a spirit and soul inside of a man. It calls him to live by the presence of God. Hallelujah. But James declares to us in the book of James chapter 2. He said to us that when the spirit is gone out of a man, then that man is dead. Now, I don't know which happens first, whether it's the spirit that departs that calls the man to die, or if it's the man that dies that releases the spirit and he steps out into the spirit steps out into eternity. But this one thing I do know is that when a man dies, the Bible said his spirit departs from him. When Stephen was being stoned in Revelation, or in Acts chapter number 7, the Bible tells us concerning Stephen, and the Word of God said, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling on the name of the Lord, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That was the prayer of Stephen. And then the Bible said, and he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, some believe in soul sleep, but that's not in the Word of God. But what is in the Word of God is that when an individual dies, their body falls asleep. Stephen had already prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul had already testified, I'm in a strait betwixt two, to stay with you or go to be with the Lord. Jesus had already declared, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And Stephen had already prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And his body died and fell asleep. The body did. It was planted beneath the sod. But his spirit went straight home to be with God forever and ever in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It was a dark day for our family back in January when my dear old dad, 90 years old, not having a body much to live in this world, and giving up because he was ready to go to another world. And for the last 2 weeks of his life, we was constantly, me and my brothers and our wives and many grandchildren, was around his bedside. But on that day in January, early in the morning, some of us the night before had sat up all night and was resting, the noise went out. Dad's gone. They awakened me and said, he's gone, Mark. I went running downstairs. Loved ones was gathered around the bed. I waited for my time. And I bent over my dear old dad. And I kissed him. A shell that was left behind. And I said, Dad. I said to myself, Dad, I'm going to meet you on the other side. Hallelujah. You know, we had the funeral service and laid him beneath the sod. I kissed his casket just before they dropped it into the ground. He was my hero. But you know, I realized as a child of God, I may weep, but I weep not as those who have no hope, because I have a better hope. I weep in the midst of my sorrow. I weep in the midst of my trouble. I weep in the midst of my suffering, having lost a precious father. And I say this morning, children of God, that when we have loved ones that's passed on before us to know the Lord, we weep for them, not because we bring them back, but we weep because they've departed. But we long for the day to go and be with them. The older I get, the more I got to go to heaven for. I tell you, when we die as saints of God, we go to be with the Lord, and that is an intermediate place where the child of God is going to go to, waiting for the hour of that great resurrection day. Let's talk to us about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul declared, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. But Paul said this before he got to our celestial hope. He said in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's coming a day that those saints of God that's gone to heaven to be with the Lord just prior to the resurrection on that great morning is coming back with the Lord, and they'll enter into the earth and their body will be collected together, and a trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. I tell you, the rapture's before us. A great resurrection is before us. Heaven awaits us, and as children of God, we need to live this life looking for a better life to go to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. I believe it's a place called paradise. Hallelujah, in the presence of Christ. Hallelujah. And then we're come back with him and into the heart of the earth. And then that moment of that great shout and a great voice, the dead's going to rise first. We which are alive and remain to be changed. Corruptible put on incorruption. This death's going to put on immortality. Then shall the same be brought to pass. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. We'll go home to be of the Lord. A tribulation period to take place. A millennial reign. But then Peter wrote and said that there's coming a day when the heavens and earth are going to melt with a fervent heat. But the Bible tells us that there is an eternal destination for the soul. And when this world's on fire, hallelujah, and the water of it is ate up, every tree upon this earth is destroyed and everything about it, and the sun's going to be blackened because in just a little while we'll have no need of the sun any longer. And the final destination of the child of God is told to us in Revelation chapter number 21. And John wrote and cried out to the church, and I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth was passed away, and there is no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. And that new Jerusalem will be the eternal resting place of the church and the presence of God throughout the endless ages of eternity, worshiping, praising, magnifying the Lord, and thankful that we're in his presence for all of eternity. Hallelujah. And if you think it's good now, Where do your feet land? Inside the gates. The Bible said there's a street of gold. And in the middle of that street, there's a river of pure, a water of life, clear as crystal. And the either side of that river and that street, there's a tree of life that bears its fruits 12 months out of the year. And its leaves are for the healing of the nation. And when you step inside that city, the first thing your feet lands upon is a street of pure gold. Hallelujah. I told you earlier, Peter declared that the heavens is going to melt with a fervent heat. The sun will be destroyed. But there's a reason for that. Because when we get to heaven, we won't need the sun anymore. Because the Lamb of God is to be the light of that city. Hallelujah. And His glory is going to fill the whole place. I've looked up and down Mansion Boulevard. I can't find a hospital or a doctor's office or a coronary clinic or a cancer unit because there's no sickness over there. I've never found a blind man tapping his way down the street because there's no blindness up there. I've looked for a cemetery, but there's not any because there's no dying up there. And the Lamb of God is the light of the city. Heaven's a place that awaits the child of God. And thank God we're headed to a new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And the gates of that city are open wide. It's 12 gates, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, and 3 on the west. And standing at every gate is an angel. And there'll be no devil up there. Because all they got to do is say, "The Lord rebuke thee." And He'll depart. And the reason that gate's open wide is because there's a new earth. And saints of God will walk into that celestial city on streets of gold. And at any moment step from a new heaven to a new earth and enjoy the blessings of God throughout the endless age of eternity. And the angels will have to step back, and the redeemed's going to stand with a song. Revelation chapter 19 tells us that there's at least 4 hallelujah choruses that we're going to sing around the throne as the redeemed. And I'll tell you what the last one is, because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hell's put beneath us the false prophet, and the devil himself's cast in a lake of fire and burn forever and ever and ever. A saints of God's going to enjoy the bliss of heaven, and we'll sing the songs of Zion, not with just a hope in our eyes, a twinkle in our eyes, but with the glory of God on the inside of our soul, because heaven has become a reality. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. What a grand and glorious time that'll be when we get over yonder. They used to sing an old song that said something about like this. Well, I wonder what they're doing in heaven today. With sin and sorrow all gone away. Peace there abides like a river, they say. Well, I wonder what they're doing there now. I have many loved ones that have gone on before. They've worked and they taught in this world below. They've gone to heaven where I want to go. Well, I wonder what they're doing there now. Hallelujah. 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 I'll tell you, I wonder about it sometime. But there's going to come the day, it's not going to be just a wonder. It's going to be reality. Hallelujah. If you shout good down here, I wonder what it'd be like to shout on streets of gold. Hallelujah. If you worship down here, I wonder what it'd be like to look at the throne and worship God. And after the judgment seat of Christ, the crowns are given. And we take our crowns and hurl them at the feet of Jesus. I tell you, I want to go to heaven. Does anybody else want to go? Hallelujah. I said, I want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. It's awaiting for us on the other side. Let's stand and lift our hands and give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.